at the foothills of Lukenya, just outside of the great city of Nairobi in Kenya. And today we want to wrap our minds around the struggle against colonization. Historians sometimes only take time to look at the struggle for independence from the 1940s. But we must remind ourselves that the struggle against colonization started as early as the 15th century, when the Portuguese started visiting the different coastal parts of Africa. History records that when they were initially welcomed, they pretended that they were traders, and whether they were the Portuguese, and later we know that the English followed, the French, the Dutch, and of course we know the Italians were here. There was always some kind of resistance. And the beauty of these rebellions is that they were designed to preserve the dignity of those communities. In the western part of Africa, we will remember the great epic battles of the only female army ever to have been created in the world, the Amazon of Dahomey. The Amazon of Dahomey resisted the Portuguese and recorded some victories. These are not documented and given their pride of place as they should be. But this should be remembered as the early days of the struggle against colonization. In what is present-day Nigeria, we know about the great efforts of the Yoruba, or the Ijebu in particular. We know the resistance of a people known as the Tiv in Nigeria, who are in the forefront of the struggle against colonization. As indeed we know the story of the Baule in present-day Cote d'Ivoire, and we also know that amongst the Mandinka, the Tures did resist this particular evil called colonization. And it did not stop there. If you go to the southern part of Africa, you'll find there were very many rebellions, and it is instructive that the Germans have now accepted that there was a genocide against the Herero in modern-day Mozambique, modern-day Namibia. So the Herero rebellion, which led to an attempt to decimate the Herero completely in Namibia, was one of the early attempts as resistance. In modern-day Zimbabwe, we know the Chimurenga, and there were many Chimurengas. Chimurenga is a Shona word which means struggle against the British rule. In eastern part of Africa, we will remember the Majimaji rebellion and the Hehe rebellions. In Kenya, we'll remember the Nandi resistance by Koitalel Samuei, and we'll also remember the Mau Mau, whose famous leader was Dedan Kimathi Washiuri. These were rebellions that started in the continent of Africa in the very early days. But later, the rebellions gave birth to political formations, so that you started from rebellions, then you ended at a stage where those Africans who had been educated in different parts of Europe were now beginning to resist. But it is important that the resistance was also informed by certain realities. If you go to the Zulu, for example, when you talk about resistance, and of course we must mention Shaka the Zulu, but after that, in the 1900s, we begin to see a different kind of resistance. And this resistance comes about when the colonial powers have now migrated from pure trade, and they are beginning to move from protectorates into colonization. They are now beginning to bring about administrations which must be financed, and they introduce taxes, poll tax, hard tax, and they are forcing Africans to engage in labor so that they can earn money and they can pay taxes. And this is why we find, for example, in the year 1900, we find the Bambata Rebellion, which is a rebellion that is led by the Zulus. Mbambata, Chief Mbambata of the Zulu, is the leader of that rebellion for purposes of saying that we do not want to pay taxes. In the same year, the 1900s are very active years. We see during that period John Chilembwe in what is present day Malawi, And John Chilembwe, who was himself a religious leader and having gone to school, says, we do not want to pay taxes. And indeed, it is instructive that today when you see the Malawi Kwacha, it is the image of John Chilembwe that you find there because of his contribution to the struggle for independence. But apart from that, there was also spiritual resistance, which we don't talk about. Somebody like Kimpa Vita or Donna Beatrice in the present-day Democratic Republic of Congo was a person who claimed to be a Roman Catholic who could see the future, and she resisted the colonialists, the Belgians at that time. And another person who was of a spiritual dimension was Simon Kimbangu, whose religion is still alive today and known as the Kimbanguists, with over 10 million followers in the Democratic Republic of Congo. So those were the faces of the struggle against colonialism. But subsequently, people started organizing themselves differently. The oldest political party in Africa was South African National Congress, which was founded in 1912. It is that particular party that later was converted into the African National Congress in 1923. So you can now begin to see political parties emerging in the 1900 and the early 1900s, 1912 and 1923 ANC. And in 1923, in what is present day Nigeria, Okinloye Herbert Makule forms another party, the National Democratic Party Convention in Nigeria, and is considered to be the father of Nigerian freedom struggle. And these parties now begin to emerge a lot more in the 1940s after the Pan-African Congress meeting in Manchester in the United Kingdom. In Ghana, you now see the United Gold Coast Convention. In Nigeria, we see the National Convention of Nigeria and the Cameroons led by Nnamdi Azikiwe. And if you look at Africa at that time, and permit us to look at Africa at that time, we start from the north. The northern part, which has kings, you go to Egypt, where there is King Farouk party that emerges under the auspices of Gamal Abdel Nasser, who at that time is inclined to the then Soviet Union. You go to Tunisia, you see another party emerging led by Habib Bourguiba. You go to Algeria, you see another party emerging. Once again, the Soviet Union, being not a traditional colonizer, is the true political north for many of these fighters. And you see Ahmed Ben Bella emerging from that. In Morocco, in order to resist the French, we see Sultan Mohammed V, who then becomes King Mohammed. You go down in Mauritania, you find Mokhtar Oldada. And you come down to the West African coast, you see the emergence of people like Dankwa in Ghana, Kwame Nkrumah, Nnamdi Azikiwe. You go to Chad, you find the emergence of yet another group of people led by Ngata Tombalbaye. And you go to Central African Republic, you see there David Dacko. You go to the southern part of Africa, you see the emergence of people like Govan Mbeki, Pixley Kaisa Kasem, and Nelson Mandela. And freedom movements are now coming in East Africa, of course, Julius Nyerere, Apollo Milton Obote, Jomo Kenyatta. In Central Africa, you see Kaunda in Zambia, you see Kamuzu Banda in Malawi, you see Robert Mugabe, Edward Mondlane in Mozambique, Samora Machel in Swapo there, you see people like Sam Nujoma and Andy Mbahaman, Toivo ya Toivo. And you go to Angola, you find individuals such as Holden Robeito and Jonas Savimbi. In Congo, you see Fulbe Yulu, and of course, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Patrice Emery Lumumba. These are political parties that are emerging to resist the colonialists in an organized manner. And the organization initially is for people just to have representation. At that time, the call for independence is not intense. The people are saying, we want to be represented in the Legislative Council. We want our people to be represented in this, so that the demand for independence is not as intense. But after India regains independence in 1947, the queue is immediately taken, and after Nkrumah comes back to Ghana, And he joins the UGCC and he finds that the UGCC is not doing a very good work. He starts his CCP and he says, independence now. And when the call for independence says independence now, the pressure is now growing at different levels. Remember, Africa is divided into spheres of influence. The spheres of influence are the French territory, the Portuguese territories, the British territories. The Germans, of course, had been expelled after the World War I. Therefore, they have lost their territories in Dahomey, in Southwest Africa, which is Namibia. They have lost their territories in the Belgians, of course, are still present. And we did not mention that even in these struggles, we never mentioned Ethiopia as we should. Ethiopia was never successfully colonized by the Italians, whom they defeated at the Battle of Badoa. So all these are led in a manner that is designed to deal with the colonialists as they come. The British begin to succumb, and of course Ghana regains their independence, and the British colonies now are on the path of regaining their independence through political agitation in the so-called Francophone countries after the vote by Charles de Gaulle's administration in 1958-1960s. We now see Senegal, we see La Côte d'Ivoire, we see Mali regaining our independence. The Portuguese are different. The Portuguese resist regranting independence to their colonies until 1970s, because Portugal itself is led by a dictatorship, a military dictatorship of Marcelo Caetano. It is only after they are overthrown by Antonio de Spinola that we now begin to see the emergence and the surrender. And that is why in most Portuguese colonies we see prolonged guerrilla warfares. We see it in Guinea-Bissau with Amilcar Cabral. We see it in Angola, led by Agostinho Neto. We see it in Mozambique, led by Eduardo Mondlane and Samora Moises Machel. And ultimately, when the administration of Marcelo Caetano is overthrown and Antonio de Spinola comes in, then the Portuguese become independent. Of course, we don't mention the Belgians and what they did in Congo and what they then granted independence to Rwanda and Burundi, and ultimately the collapse of the apartheid system in 1994, because the apartheid movement remained in power for a very long time until, of course, during the administration of President de Klerk, they are persuaded and we have the democratic vote in 1994. And Africa, in a political sense, is free. But Africa really had to go through different phases in order to regain her independence. The rebellions, the organizations against taxation, the political agitation through political parties, and ultimately all the 54 African countries are independent politically, but struggling, as it were, to regain total independence in the manner that is in keeping with what Kwame Nkrumah had said in the 1950s, seek ye first the political kingdom and the rest shall be given. And they are never given. We now know that it must be fought for, and Africa is now fighting first even to acquire total political freedom and ultimately economic freedom. That is the history, the sad history of the struggle against colonization in the mother continent of Africa. Thank you very much. The colonial history is always long and sad, and we have only put it in a small capsule. Goodbye. We see you another time.